Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny. Weekends calling. Top start, free balling.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a very special episode of Free Balling. Why is it special? Well, Ed, go ahead and tell him.
Well, we're going to be interviewing crew from the short film West Flies the Raven, Sebastian.
It is, without a doubt, the hottest short film coming straight out of the UK. And
we're not saying that just first. Because I was part of the crew, but...
Oh, no.
That is
no,
exactly no, no. Why we're saying this. So I think before we even start the episode, we have an empty seat here. Let's fill this sumbitch. Lou, come on down.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming on to Freeballing, Lou. Lovely to see you, mate.
Lovely to see you. Lovely to see you, Seb. So you're all right. Is Seb okay?
I think Seb's okay. Seb, are you good?
No, I'm fine. Are you calling him Seb?
I'm fine.
Okay?
Oh,
I'm is that fine.
Okay? Yeah, sweet. Hey, we're good to go.
Yeah, no, we're all good to go. All right. I mean, Lou, welcome to Freeballing. It is a pleasure to have you here. And I don't know. Do you guys just want to jump into it? Do we want to get a little small talk, or what's the vibe?
I think we can do a little bit of small talk, you know, because we've only said crew of Raven. We've not actually said what Lou was doing. Lou was actually the man, the myth, the legend, the director of photography for West Flies the Raven.
Oh my gee. So that's why it looks so clean.
Yeah. Okay.
Now you just signed that now because you got me on the camera.
Oh dude, no, I've seen it and fuck, I love it. I love every frame. It is fucking gorgeous.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I appreciate that, Seb. Cheers.
Yeah, I don't want to toot one's own horn, but I've been a part of a few short films because, you know, I'm a filthy little student. but this is probably the nicest short film that I've seen. Like, even though Lou is about to tell us the ins and outs of the difficulties of directing photography for West Flies the Raven, but we'll get to that later. I think for now, let's get to know Lou as a person, as a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. I think, Sebastian, you have a question for us.
I do. So, you know, we're all filmmakers. We all love telling stories. We all have our own way of going about it. But there was always that one thing that made us go, yeah, that's what I want to do. So was it, Lou, for you, was it a movie? Was it a series? What's that thing that made you go, yeah, I can do that?
For me, it was a film. And that particular film was the 1978 Superman with Christopher Reeves. Now, I know it was 1978. I was born in 1983. So my earliest memory of that, it would have been on normal terrestrial TV at that point. Back in them days, we had four channels, man. Fucking four channels.
The difficulty was real.
Yeah, man. You don't know how sport you are these days. But yeah, we had four channels. And I remember my mum put it onto the TV, and I'll never forget watching that helicopter scene, the the first time as a child. I mean, you look back on it now and it doesn't look as good, but it was that moment for me where I just watched him fly up the building, take Lois Lane out first. He saved Lois first because she was falling.
Yep.
And then he flew up and he grabbed the helicopter, and that was it for me. But it's one of them. I grew up in a very, very privileged age of cinema. Like, I think the contrast that we've got between cinema today and what I had when I was growing up, you know, I grew up with your Back to the Futures, your Jurassic Parks, your Terminators, so many really, really good high-end films. I think that's probably why I don't like many new films coming out these days, because they just don't reach the bar.
Yeah.
They just don't get there. They just don't manage to...
There's no charm to them.
Yeah, there's no charm to them. I think it's also probably because we're so spoiled these days as well. It's like, you know, you've got Netflix and you'll sit scrolling through Netflix for half hour before you even put a film on. So, you know, back in them days, it was a sacred experience to go and see a film. And for me, it was every Saturday. And we used to go every Saturday because my uncle would take us, and my uncle would use it as an excuse to have a sleep. So there'd be me and like seven of my cousins. We'd all go to the cinema. It was at the Beaufort Park. You probably don't know Beaufort Park.
I do not know Beaufort Park.
Beaufort Park Cinema was literally down the road from my house. So we'd go in there. My Uncle Tony would have a sleep. And the kids would all watch the film. But that tradition never stopped. As I grew older and I grew into a teenager, I started then going on a Saturday with my pal George. And like, we just used to sneak into films. Did you ever go to the Showcase Cinema on Tyburn Road, Ed?
I did not.
Old Showcase Cinema.
I'm Solly Hall, born and bred.
There was two big fucking alleys, one going off to the left, one going off to the right. And if you just stayed in there, you'd never get caught, and they couldn't chuck you out. So we'd watch like three or four films a day. You know, we'd go there and we'd watch three or four films a day. I'll never forget watching two of the underage films that I watched there were Judge Dredd with Sylvester Stallone.
Nice.
Double whammy.
I got to see that on the big screen, man. I got to see it on the big screen.
That's crazy.
And then the second one was Event Horizon. And it scared the shit out of me.
Love Event Horizon. Anyone, there's been an influx of people watching Sunshine recently, and I'm always on the comment section. If you like Sunshine, go watch Event Horizon.
Event Horizon's
all it does is add Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's so cool that you mentioned 1978 Superman, because me and Sebastian actually did an episode of Freeballing a couple of weeks ago before Christmas, the top 10 comic book movie moments. And the helicopter scene you just talked about was one of Sebastian's moments.
Oh, sweet, man.
Yeah.
It's just such a sick moment. Like the whole thing, you know, he catches her. It's like, I've got you, miss. It's like, you've got me. Who's got you?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's 1978 and Christopher Reeve is flying on screen. And it's like, yeah, by today's standards, it doesn't look good. But in that moment, superhero movies wouldn't be what they are today.
To a 3 or 4 year old is what age I would have been at the time, and then with the John Williams soundtrack over the top.
Exactly. There you go.
It's one of them, isn't it? You're just it's lush.
Yeah. I make it. It's one of my personal things. Like when COVID hit and all the cinemas shut down, I didn't know what to do with myself. I love going to the cinema, but when Cineworld opened back up, when there was no movies to show, what they would start showing was classic movies. So I went with a friend and I ended up seeing in cinema Back to the Future, Karate Kid, The Dark Knight, Shawshank, Terminator 2. And honestly, I was like, when there's nothing else to show, give me more of these. Because like what I'm seeing in cinema now is crap.
Get the classics out, man.
And I saw Priscilla the other day. I wish I hadn't. So we're going to move on to the next question. Okay, it's going to be from me, my big man. So get worried, but not too worried. So you've been working in filmmaking for a while now, but let's just say, you know, when you leave here after the podcast, Netflix is calling, Warner Bros is calling, and it's Lou. You've got more money than Sin to come be director of photography on a project. Who are you telling them to bring onto that project?
It's a bit weird, really, because like I think every filmmaker has that absolute ambition to have that and like, give me the money and let me go off and make a film. But I think by today's standards, like I was saying, I think directors have kind of, like, outside of the indie world, have lost their calling.
Yeah.
It's like they're just managed by studios these days. And I think with that money, with that unlimited access to funds, it actually creates a block.
Mm.
And it's just, to me, my mentality's really changed behind it. It's like, I used to think money, and now I don't. Now I think, you know, story, and I want a decent script. I think with an indie film, you've got the heart of it, haven't you? You've got the heart of the crew. You've got the heart of the people around you. You know, I could imagine.
I think that's why The Holdovers worked so well recently for me.
Yeah.
So good.
It's like any indie film that you watch, you can really see that everybody's wearing the hearts on the sleeve.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. A friend of mine, he's a DP over in Los Angeles, Horatio Martinez.
Yeah.
And he...
Sebastian, do you know him?
he DP'd a film called Simon, which is about Venezuela. And Horatio was the DP on it, and it was... Absolutely, that the whole crew on it, everybody was all Venezuelan, and they're all like refugees from Venezuela. They've all, they all now live in LA, and you could see them in the film. You could see all that, and they didn't have a massive budget. Mm. They didn't have a massive budget. It was a very tiny budget what they worked with, but what they actually achieved, like I watched the film. I got a private screening of the film quite a while back, and just hit me on every level. And I was like, I've just started thinking that, like, it's not always about the money.
Okay.
It's not always about...
I still need an answer, though.
Who would I want to work with?
No, let's change it for you. Like,
okay.
I'm willing to change. Like, give me, like, a piece of gear. It can be a piece of gear, like a camera you want to work with. I mean, you said writer. I mean, like, pay the big bills for me, mate. Like I need that jump too, motherfucker.
I'd rather have, like, 3 or 4 Panelux trucks, man, with fucking lights and grip. I really would.
There we go. Panelux trucks with lights and grip.
That's what I'd much rather have. I'd rather have a van full of lights and, you know, cream sauces, M40s, M18s. I'd rather have a van full of that kit.
Sebastian likes cream sauce.
Yeah, well, and I do. I love them, man. But I think that's my philosophy on it now. I'm not really looking for a budget. I'm looking for a film.
Yeah, man. That's a nice answer.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if we're looking for a film, we're going to give you a lot more about West Wilds of Raven when we come back after the break. Is that right, Sebastian?
Hold on, just before we go to the break, because I feel like there's a small world thing, just because you talked about Simon. Is the director's name Diego by any chance? You happen to know what the director's name was of that short?
Shall I quickly have a look on IMDb?
Yeah,
we'll allow it.
All the time. That's totally fine.
It will. I could just message him and say, Horatio.
How quickly will he respond, though?
He usually responds to me pretty quick, Horatio does. And it's about time now he'll be up in LA.
Is this the Diego that we know, Sebastian?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Damn.
In fact, let me find him. Searching for a name on Simon, like Simon on IMDb.
We're going to need to fill this time with some elevator music. Hey, Anthony, can you do that for us? Can we get some elevator music whilst Lou's working on it?
Yeah, I've got it.
Anthony just said, fuck you.
It was Diego.
Diego Vicentini?
Yeah, yeah. Do you know him?
Yeah, I went to film school with him. What the fuck?
Wow.
That's so cool.
Wow.
That's awesome. It's a small world.
Have you seen the film?
You're trying to be like, you're being a dick with that Horatio Martinez. You know him, but we know the director.
have you seen it, Seb? Have you seen the
film? I did. I really enjoyed it. It was really good.
It's such a superb story, isn't it? It's like, mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know, it's, I won't mention what happens in the film, but like
we've spoiled many films on Freeballing, so by all means.
No, I won't, because I want people to actually watch the film, but the big twist in it, you know which twist I'm talking mm-hmm. about.
Yeah.
It's like it really got me. And like I was strongly emotional over it. I was like, I didn't see that coming. So it's a great film, and I suggest, I'm not going to ruin it, go and watch the film. It's brilliant.
Well, it's always nice to see someone from Knifer getting some success.
Yeah. Well, Horatio was in New York Film Academy as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was in New York Film Academy.
He probably knows a friend of me and Sebastian. But we'll get away from all that. We've got to start talking about Raven. We've got some time left for some questions. So we'll be back right after the break.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so just before the break, we've just met with Lou. I was almost forgot your name then. Sorry about that, mate. Lou, director of photography for Westwise the Raven. So we learned about his inspiration and his aspirations, but now we want to talk about his work on the magnificent Westwise the Raven. Sebastian, do you have a question that you wanted to kick us off with?
I do. Let's get into the nitty gritty. So, you know, when you're putting together a project, you're putting your crew together, it's, you know, you're kind of reaching out to people and you get the script and everything. So when you were initially approached by, you know, Ed, Ross and Ben for doing cinematography for this, what were you thinking? Did these guys lose their minds? What was your thought process on it?
No, I mean, it's one of them, like when you're doing things, I think filmmaking's all about, I think a lot of it is about making something look really big, even though behind the scenes, you know, there's a lot of constraints. I think you have to make these projects to appear a lot bigger than they are, and I think we've done that with Raven, right? Yep. And it was so I didn't think that was crazy at all. I love the ambition.
You've wanted to work on, like, when we were doing Together Alone, me and you connected through like Norse mythology.
I'm massively into like historic as well. So
you told me to play Senua's Blade on Xbox.
To me I wasn't daunted by it. I wasn't like,
sorry, I've been instructed to bring the mic closer. Is this better, Anthony? Can you hear me now?
We're just going to go carry
yeah,
on.
So you were saying about your connection to Raven through your love of history.
Yeah, so, you know, it was one of them. I didn't think anybody was being crazy or overly ambitious. I think I kept saying to Ross, fuck it, let's just do it. You know what I mean? It's like, let's go for it.
I remember you being that voice on set.
Yeah.
And even before set.
I wasn't afraid of it. And, like, I think with anything like that, you go in with fear and it's like, you know, but that fear can kill you and it can put you off and it can stop you dead in your tracks and it can rattle people's nerves and, you know, it can end up turning into something that you didn't envision in the first place. But with Raven, I think I got everything that I wanted out of it. Like, I got the look, you know, Chris and fucking, Home Guard's name?
James.
James, Chris and James. Both superb on the camera, you know, that they looked absolutely amazing on the
Your
camera.
Your mate Rich as Thorgan?
Yeah, Richard Grimes as Thorgan. And then, like, the good thing was, it's with me, Seb, as well, and Ed will know this, but I've got a crew, and my crew are, I'm not going to say they're like my family, they're so close to me, and they're so on the same mission as me. They're so in bed with what I want to do. So I was able to bring that crew and everybody was on a par. Mm. Everybody was on, was mm-hmm. was rose above their game, bought an absolute A game. Ben Carrier, fucking superb guy.
Oh, he's Steadicam, wasn't he?
Yeah, but superb guy on the Steadicam. And then we had Ben Waldron, who's my regular first AC. He's been on pretty much every shoot.
You're ruining our second question. The second question was meant to be about crew, damn it.
Oh, shit.
Answers have been combined. Our planning has gone to shit.
It's all good. That's all good.
Ask that question now.
So, about the crew. No, so the next question we were going to talk about was like getting together such an amazing crew for such an ambitious short. And at the end of the day, it is a short. I think for me, the reason we asked that question is because I have never seen a short that has tackled like Norse mythology before. It's always been a series or it's always been a feature.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, it was almost a freshness. I thought we were definitely in a bit of a sort of shadow of the market a little bit. Because usually the festival darlings are like the World War movies or the other type of movies, you know.
Yeah. They don't like our fucking movie, do they?
No. we had two big hulking white guys.
The thing was, I think we'll all agree on this, we never made it for the festival circuit.
No, we didn't. No.
I don't think you could be tied to the festival circuit. Because you've got to make things for you. You needed to write this for you. Ross needed to direct it for him. I needed to shoot it how I wanted to shoot it.
Yeah.
So it's...
How did that shooting process go for you? How did you take yourself and your team through the shoot of Raven?
Well, I'll just point out here, Seb, but this bastard wouldn't pay for the lenses, so I paid for the lenses myself.
Right, I'm Anthony, you can cancel my mic now. I'm leaving.
And you, fuckface. You didn't have my back on it.
You can't,
Ben Keane.
So, hi Ben.
The big conversation that me and Ross had from the start was we're shooting this anamorphic, and it was like, yeah, we're going anamorphic with this. We don't want to shoot it spherical. We want to shoot it anamorphic. And we didn't just want to go anamorphic. We wanted to go vintage anamorphic just to make everybody's life a bit fucking harder. Because we got a set of cowers. Have you worked with cowers before, Seb?
I haven't.
Well, these was vintage cowers, man. Like, they was fucking vintage. They were super vintage. We got them off a company called Media Dog. They did cut me a good deal on them. Those lenses, I think they added so much more aesthetic to Raven that I didn't know would have been there through spherical lenses. So, you know. But then the process of shooting it, it was very collaborative, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't like, I know Ross had a shot list, but it was more like, let's have a look and see what we think. And then it was kind of, we weren't making it up on the fly. We had a good idea.
There were some things on the fly.
There was a lot of things on the fly, but what film isn't going to have things on the fly? But it all works in the end. It all works absolutely perfectly. You know, you look at the footage now and it looks... You know, I'm really, really pleased with it.
Every time I watch Raven, I get more and more invigorated that hopefully someday we can hopefully tell more of the story.
Yeah, that is
clearly there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never seen a short end so ambiguously that makes me want to go, fucking hell, where's the rest of it, man?
Yeah. No, it was... I mean,
what about you, Sebastian? As only a watcher of Raven, do you get that same feeling? Do you watch Raven and think you want to fill in the blanks? You want to go further?
I mean, personally, I usually hate an ambiguous ending, but for Raven, I'm making an exception because I genuinely want to see more. Like the action sequences were phenomenal. The performances were great, and it just feels like it's just you're just tapping. Like the well, there's still so much more of that story left to explore. So I'm definitely I'm all for it. Like just fucking take my money now.
I think we always planned it as a bit of a proof of concept, though, didn't we?
I think that sort of happened on the first day for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
one of them, isn't it? What else could you use it for?
Yeah.
We knew it's not a festival film. So I think by natural elimination, it's like, oh, this is a great proof of concept. And I think it's a great proof of concept. I'd love to do the thing on a big budget If anybody's listening and wants to put some money in, I'd love to do the thing on a big
Lou
budget.
Lou wants his trucks with his grip gear. If you're listening,
and the cowers,
and the cowers,
and these fuckers can pay for it. But
no,
yeah, I just want to go back to the crew for a bit because there is a couple of people that I do want to mention.
Yeah, by all means,
I want to mention Hannah. Hannah Rawson was fucking absolutely superb production designer. I'll tell you where that girl kept pulling things from. I just do not know
the
where
set of Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
our like, Raven was in a cage from Game of Thrones and damn near destroyed the thing.
It was like she just kept bringing things out of nowhere, going, "What about this?" It was like, "Oh yeah, put that bearskin on the wall," you know. And like for her to be the way she was, because
we needed candles in the Great Hall, and Hannah just comes out with these two great big candlesticks. It's like, "Oh, do you need these iron candles?" Yes we do.
So I mean, it's all things like that with the crew, having everybody in sync like that is just phenomenal, you know.
Yeah,
makes it even better. We won best production design at our local film fest
in
Birmingham,
and we won best stunt fighting,
stage fight limited.
Raph and his guys, well deserved.
Yeah,
absolutely well deserved. So well deserved. All the effort and time that they put into, you know, choreographing them fight scenes. Again, like that's what I mean.
Asking people that worked in Birmingham to go all the way to Bournemouth as well.
Yeah, yeah. I just film the good shit.
Which isn't
close
for anyone in America or around the world, by the way. Birmingham to Bournemouth, even though the UK is like, "Oh, it's so small, you can fit like 200 of them in Texas." Shut the fuck up. Like, it's a long fucking way. With all that gear and all that people, it's like, it's bullshit. And it's, especially when we're driving home, it was like the worst weather imaginable. I've never seen windscreen wipers move so fast. I thought I was going to die. Like,
dude,
Ross,
don't sugarcoat it. Tell us how you really feel.
Ross was like literally face planting the windscreen. Meanwhile, Ben was dying in the back. We'll learn more about that. And I'm like, "Ross, you okay, mate?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm just trying to see." Yeah, I'm trying to see too, mate. I'm trying to get home. I'm so scared. But Lou, just one more question before you leave. Sebastian wants to ask this one.
Right. So, I mean, we've kind of talked about a couple different things on set, but he's like, is there one specific moment that stands out to you and just being like, "Wow, we've got something here. Like, this is going to be special." Like, was there anything that just kind of clicked for you?
Yeah. And it was actually when it was all going wrong rather than when it was
awesome.
All going right. And when it went fucking wrong, it went wrong. So the last day of shooting, we all remember this.
I broke down.
Yeah. I think everybody was fucking breaking down. Everybody was having a little bit of a meltdown. But David Gant, God bless him, he comes onto set. He gives a brilliant fucking performance. You know, he does it all absolutely word perfectly. And then I can't remember who it was, but somebody just went, "Where's his beard?"
It was Jess. It was makeup.
Yeah, where's his beard? And I'm like, "What the fuck do you mean, where's his beard?" It's like, then they showed me a still from the day before and there was like, "Well, he had a beard yesterday." And I'm like, "You're fucking joking me, ain't
you?" Great big bushy beard.
Yeah.
Like...
So, I mean, David, he really did come... when he didn't have the beard on, and I don't know what happened, but it was kind of like everything started going downhill from that point, didn't it? David, God bless him, he just couldn't get his lines out.
No.
He knew his lines perfectly, just couldn't get them out. And
beware the shadow, for no man can fight the shadow.
But it was just all going wrong, like, you know. Me and Ross was bickering over angles and going, "Oh, let's shoot like this, let's shoot like that. Well, how the fuck are we shooting it?" And I think we was aware of time as well, because we had Paul. Paul was from Liverpool and he was one of our makeup guys. A fantastic job Paul did.
Yeah.
But Paul had to get back to Liverpool from Bournemouth. Again, said fucking Bournemouth and Liverpool. Bournemouth and Birmingham's far, Liverpool's fucking further.
Yeah.
So okay. We had to get him back to Liverpool, which he was going back on a train. So we're all like there going, time is dramatically running out. We're not going to get this in the can. And then I think we all went outside, didn't we? And
we broke up for lunch.
And it was kind of like, you know,
I tell you what, it was the nicest lunch I've ever had on a film set ever. It was like this like really hearty, warming stew.
Yeah.
In the world's shittiest weather. Like, honestly, like, I don't know if it's just like Bournemouth is just a magnet for shit weather, but I'm never going back. Even though there's like beaches there for whatever fucking reason. Yeah, let's go to Bournemouth for the beaches. I don't fucking think so. But it was like, and then just, I think Ross just went around everyone, like all the key heads and me, and like just gave it like a singular pep talk. And then we came back on set and everyone just,
well, like, we had to, didn't we?
Yeah, we just nailed it. We had to do like, what we had to do. But it just all began to just like a well-oiled machine.
It was kind of like that. It was a make or break moment, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like, if we don't fucking pull this together now and get this in the can and do a good job of it, we're all going to walk away and we're all going to be really fucked off with ourselves. We're really going to be pissed off because we've come
before
this far.
Lunch, I was literally in my mind, how much money do I need to pull together to get here again
with
everyone for a pickup shoot?
And then just like that, we pulled it out of the bag. And I think that was the big moment for me where I was like, mm-hmm. We have got something good here, because we was fucking knackered as well.
Yeah.
Everybody was so tired. It was the last day of the shoot. You know, we'd done a travel day. We'd done long hours. And to get to that point where we got to, like, and then we pulled it all back, I felt great.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful thing to do. So I knew at that point, that at the film's lowest point, I knew was the highest point.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Well, Lou, thank you for coming on to Freeballin'. You've been a fan of the show for a long time, so we hope you watch this episode and the other episodes future episodes.
Yep. Yeah, man.
Well, you won't be able to watch future episodes. Like, you know, bit of a spoiler. We're only going to be filming a few episodes we're going to be releasing these as a bit of a teaser to the release of the short for Westwise the Raven. So stay tuned for more shorts, more special guests. And don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. You know where to find us. We'll be all over your Instagrams and all over your social medias. We may or may not be balling freely.
Oh, no, yeah, no, we will definitely be freeballing, because it's what we do.
Yeah.
We freeball.
I did ask Sebastian whether or not we could be in boxers for these episodes, but you can't handle this much meat. So we'll see you next time.
Come join us on this trip. Now I'm like to pulling out the script.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh man, come join us on a trip. I'm sorry. Now we're throwing out the script. I hope we don't charge a penny. I hear the weekend's calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.